You are listening to the TriCast Gaming Podcast.
Greetings and welcome everyone to episode number 8 of the TriCast Gaming Podcast. I am your host, Philip Keeney, and I am joined today by the roguishly handsome Mike Martinez.
That's me.
And the ever quantumly present Adam Garcia.
Hello.
Guys, how are y'all doing tonight?
I'm good. About yourself?
Not too bad. It's been a little bit of a slower week this week, finally, at work. So I'm feeling a little bit higher up the ready to do this order. How about you, Mike?
I feel like ass. I told you earlier, I was kind of stuck in the middle of a bunch of smoke from a wildfire, and then got a sinus infection, and then my wife got strep. So it's been a great time in this household. We're having a great time here.
Yeah, that sounds rough, man. I don't That's envy tough. This at all.
But there is a positive to all this, Mike.
Oh, how are you going to make this a positive?
You're back on the podcast.
That is true.
Yeah, y'all did great last week without me. I don't know how y'all kept it together, but y'all pushed through.
We missed
and
you.
Got a show out for sure, man. It was good.
Yeah, thank you. But your presence was definitely missed, though. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just a rough week.
Yeah. Well, we tried to do you justice. We brought in your topic and we tried to talk smart like we knew something about PCs, but that was some bullshit. So, you know, we did what we could do. We did.
Yeah, I saw the teraflop trying to describe what that is. I'm like, oh no, they don't know. Can they push through this?
I mean, I was pretty sure that it was like the number of floppy disks you need to shove in the CD drive in order to make Blu-rays work, right? Isn't that how it
that's
works?
Close. That's very close. But it looks like you have a correction.
I do have a correction. Well, guys, before we get into the show, and I'm going to bring the mood down a little bit somber for a second, but I think it's really important. I think it's really, really important. Today is National Suicide Prevention Day, and I just wanted to speak a little note on this because I think this is such a great thing to be aware of. You know, growing up in high school, I actually went to several different, I want to say it was 5 different funerals. I had a friend whose father committed suicide. I dated a girl who both of her brothers committed suicide. So this is a really difficult thing. A lot of people suffer from it. And I think it's great that we have an awareness day. And, you know, I think it's important that if you're struggling, please reach out. I'll even answer anything on this podcast. If somebody wants to talk to me, you know, make sure that you reach out and, you know, if someone reaches out to you, please be there to listen to them. And sometimes you just need to listen. You know, you don't need to try to solve their problems or anything, but sometimes people just need someone to hear them, someone to recognize that this is a difficult thing for them and that you want to hear what they have to say. So just make sure that if you need help, please reach out. And if you have someone reach out to you, please listen to them.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, that's 100%. All right.
So yeah, I'll try to lift us out of that little bit of a somber mood, and move us along, guys. So last week, Adam, you told me that I should watch Cobra Kai, and I got off the podcast from recording. I went straight to my TV and I turned on the first episode of Cobra Kai. And I don't think I turned off Netflix until I was finished all the way through season 2 sometime on Sunday afternoon. So I watched the whole 20 episodes in about a 4-day span. So I thought it was excellent. Well, I thought season 1 was excellent. Season 2, I don't want to spoil anything because I know Mike is watching it right now and he's kind of towards the end of season 1. But season 2 for me got a little too, like, I want to call it, you know, weekday afternoon telenovela type bullshit going on in it. It was a little too dramatic for me, culminating in that final episode where I actually saw what happened coming, but I was like, nah, this is too much. Like, come on. So I don't know. I'm hoping they can pull it back up with season three. I don't want to give away too many spoilers because I know, Mike, you're watching it too. So
yep.
I don't know.
In that sense, I'm not going to say nothing because I know I'll give something away.
Yeah, please don't. Please don't.
Yeah. So, but I really, really enjoyed season one. I mean, season one had me by the hooks, man. I couldn't put it down. It's really good. And season two, I was kind of going with it until about halfway through when it started to get a little bit odd, but I definitely finished it. And I think it's a really good show. I think it's, it was very nostalgic for me. I like you said, Adam, how they blend in the scenes from the original Karate Kid movies. And it was really nostalgic for me thinking back to my childhood and watching those movies. And I did think it was a little bit strange how they almost kind of tried to make out like Danny LaRusso was the bad guy all along. I thought that was a little bit weird.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that Mr. Miyagi was like the guy, right? I mean, yeah. I don't know. It's a bit strange, but in the end, I think they kind of pulled it back out and kind of showed that, like, hey, both of these guys, Johnny Lawrence and Danny LaRusso, are, you know, they have their struggles, but they're also like deep down kind of good people. So, you know, by the end of season one, I thought that they had kind of done that well enough. So I was happy with it. But yeah, Mike, how are you? I think you're in it a little bit too. How's it going for you?
Good. I started episode one as soon as I got home today, and I paused it on at the end of episode eight, just to start the podcast.
Nice.
I will finish the show tomorrow.
It hooked you as well. Well, there you have it, guys. If you haven't seen Cobra Kai, it sounds like we highly recommend it from this podcast.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Definitely recommend it.
Like, I like how it brings, it's just so nostalgic. You know, it brings back the 80s music and like the montages and stuff like that. I'm a sucker for that.
Yeah, I love how it always ends with the old theme song. I actually force Netflix to let me watch the credits just so I can listen to it.
Yeah. I just hate that Mr. Miyagi died, though. Like, it would have been so much better if he was still alive.
Well,
that dude was old, though, wasn't he?
He was old.
He was old when the movies first came out. So,
see, Daniel is now the same age as Mr. Miyagi in the movies back then. Now.
That's crazy.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, I remember reading that. Well, he's older now at this point because I remember hearing that a few years ago.
Dang.
Hmm.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Because the actor who played Mr. Miyagi, Pat Morita, he died in 2005 at age 73.
Uh-huh.
And if Karate Kid 1 came out in 84, then that means he would have been 20 years younger, so 53 when they filmed Karate Kid 1.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, how about that? And you're saying that Ralph Macchio is 53 now?
Something like that.
Let's look.
You're right. He's 58 here. Wow. Man. Boy, does time fly. Well, on that note.
Oh my gosh.
On that note, I guess we'll move on. I do have one other little funny story related to Cobra Kai. I'm a huge, huge racing fan, as you guys know. I don't know if I've said it on this podcast, but I know you guys know. And my favorite form of racing is IndyCar. And there's a driver in IndyCar. His name is Will Power. Yes, that's his real name. Will Power. He's from Toowoomba, Australia.
Gosh.
Yeah, he's a character. He's really cool character, personality. But he had posted on Twitter that he was watching Cobra Kai and asked what people were they Cobra Kai or Miyagi-Do?
I'm Miyagi-Do.
So yeah, I guess before I go on, what are you guys? You say you're Miyagi-Do, Mike. What are you?
I don't know, man. I'm getting pulled towards the Cobra Kai a little bit.
Come on, Mike.
Cobra Kai is badass.
Yeah.
It's not about being badass. It's about being one with the Miyagi-Do and like the karate.
I think if you had to make me pick, I'd go Miyagi-Do. So we're 2-1 here on this podcast. But so Boom. He asked this question, and so I reply, and he says that he would be Cobra Kai. So I replied and said, I think that Miyagi-Do would have done you some good on a few of your championship runs. Smiley face, smiley face. And then said, don't be mad. I'm a huge fan. I was heartbroken with all those second places too.
Did he reply? And
he liked my tweet.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
Oh, nice. So yes, the Willpower professional IndyCar driver sponsored by Verizon liked my tweet. So that's about my biggest celebrity moment on Twitter.
Nice.
So anyway, I guess moving on to another Netflix show that we've talked about a little bit here. I am finished with High Score. I watched all of the episodes of High Score. I think in the end, I'm a little disappointed. I think they focused on some things that, like, they do a lot of focusing on the tournaments. And I think it's because they try to tie it into professional esports at the end of the series. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think it did very well. I don't think that it just didn't come off that great. And then the other weird thing was that, like, every episode they would have multiple people that they would interview and they had to highlight their sexual orientation. And it's like,
oh, really?
These were the only people. It was really they get to the episode where they're talking about the Nintendo versus Sega war. And they bring in Tom Kalinske, who was brought on by Sega. Is a really interesting story how he was on he was actually at Mattel. He designed, like, the He-Man series and the Barbie series at Mattel. Uh-huh. And he was on vacation in Hawaii, and the Sega exec flies in from Japan and, like, recruits him in Hawaii to take on the president of Sega America position to sort of try to challenge Nintendo. It's a really interesting story. If you've not looked into it, there are some great books about it. So I already kind of knew the story, and I already kind of knew how big of a character Tom Kalinske was. So they actually brought him onto the show, and they highlighted him for like 5 minutes, not even 5 minutes of an episode, and then immediately switch to this kid, he's not really a kid anymore, right? He's a grown up who competed in the Sega tournament, who's gay. And they had him talk about that for 5 minutes and then talk about his tournament for like another 10 minutes of the show. And then kind of came back to Tom Kalinske for a couple minutes and then jumped to another character who was also gay. I was like, what?
Why does it matter if they're gay?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't have a, you know, I want to be very, very clear. Like, I have absolutely no trouble with. You know, your sexual orientation or even your gender preference at this point, you know, I'm pretty open to all of that. It just felt weird and forced for them to keep bringing that in. They also had an episode where they did highlight a whole transgender person. And I don't know, maybe that works for some people. Maybe that's really important for some people. It just felt forced into the show for me and felt like something they were really trying to highlight. And I just thought that was a little bit strange. I mean, it's not why I dislike the show. I don't dislike the show anyway. I just felt it was a little bit of a strange goal of the show to kind of go that route.
I kind of feel like that them adding that element to it just kind of helps add a label to them, which I'm sure most of them are against that anyways. But that's just me.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. And that's kind of like, it kind of lends itself to this feeling that I kind of had by the end of the show that this was made by somebody who wasn't really deep into video games. Almost like somebody from outside of the industry who said, oh, I need to make a series about this, documentary series about this. And these are the things I'm going to highlight. Like these people who, you know, they use video games as like their acceptance in the world because they can compete however or as whoever they are. Or, you know, let me highlight these tournaments from like the late 80s that nobody really cares about anymore. Or some of the stuff that just didn't seem like, I don't know, like I wanted to see stuff, history of the games industry that I hadn't seen yet. And I didn't.
Right.
I didn't see any of that. I literally didn't see anything that I hadn't already read about in books and stuff like that, which, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's just me because, you know, I am you know, I like to read books and I like to read history and I like video games. And so those three come together a lot for me, and I read a lot of books. And so maybe I'm just unique because of that, but I don't know. It's not bad. It really is not bad. I definitely would recommend the show for sure. If you haven't seen it, go check it out, especially if you're not as versed in the early video game history as I am. I think the last episode is actually one of the best, because they do a really good job of going into as video games transition into the 3D era. And they do a big interview with, like, Tom Clancy. I don't know why I almost said his name again. John Romero from id Software, and like the early development of Wolfenstein 3D and Doom and how they did that. So that was some cool stories that I hadn't heard before. Like, apparently they got the idea to go start their own company because one night they were messing around with Super Mario Bros. 3 and managed to figure out how to bring the game onto a PC and put their own character in instead of Mario, and actually got continuously scrolling, side-scrolling screens. And it was the first time anybody had done that on PC. And they were like, oh man, we're badass. Like, we should go start our own company. And so that was kind of what started that. And then they wanted to go do 3D, and they did Wolfenstein 3D first, and then they did Doom. And Doom was the first game that figured out peer-to-peer multiplayer across a cable modem connection. And so it was actually kind of funny just to hear a cable modem booting up again. I hadn't heard that sound for a long time. So
that brings back memories.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you haven't seen it, go check it out. But High Score, it is gaming related. It's on Netflix. It's worth your, I don't know, there's six episodes and they're about 35 to 40 minutes along each. So it's not a terribly long series to get through.
I started the first episode. I just haven't gotten back into it. I need to go finish it.
Yeah, I'm still stuck on the third episode because I focused more on Cobra Kai once I got addicted to it.
Right. Yeah, I certainly put down High Score once I started watching Cobra Kai and didn't go back to High Score until after I finished Cobra Kai. So I understand that. Well, anybody else got anything this week that they want to bring up?
No. I have nothing, man. I've been at home. I haven't really been playing a lot of anything. Last 2 days, I've just been out.
Hopefully helping take care of your wife.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, she's taking care of me as well. We're both kind of sick, so.
Gotcha. Well, yeah. What about you, Adam?
No, just kind of I'm still reeling over the that suicide that happened here in town last weekend. So yeah. It's interesting because, like, you would figure it would, you know, people could start healing, but for some reason people found a way to politicize it, and not only that, they're trying to gain from it at the same time. So it's very disappointing to see what's going on, and it's hurting a lot more people than it's helping.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. It really is. I think it's unfortunate with a lot of things that happen nowadays that everyone seems to want to try to use it as a way to score a point on whatever argument they feel is most imperative to make at the time. It just seems to be a real trend of our society these days, and it'd be nice if
it's exhausting.
Yeah.
I deactivated my Facebook because that was going on my timeline. Like, I can't do this anymore. So I just deleted my Facebook. I haven't looked at it in a week and a half.
It's pretty
liberating.
It's not a bad idea. I did go through my Twitter and kind of removed a couple of the political figure. I don't follow many anyway, but I removed a couple more and started skipping past their posts and trying to navigate my way through the murky waters to just catch the gaming and the sports news. But even that's frustrating because you follow.
It's everywhere. It's like hard to get away from.
Yeah. Man, I stopped watching a lot of sports. Even it's not even that I disagree so much with what some of the stuff that they're saying. It's just I can't keep ingesting it. I need to get away from it. So
yeah, because there's a point that you hit where you become so consumed with it, you just have to like step away so you can become normal again.
Yeah,
Yeah, that's what I did. It's pretty good. I feel great after deactivating my Facebook.
Well, yeah. There you go, folks. If you're finding yourself a little frustrated with the world, maybe just take a break from social media. You know, it's definitely a new thing. Like, even for me, I'm 32. You know, my first 20 years of life, I didn't really do anything with social media. So,
yeah.
And even then, I didn't get onto Twitter until a few years ago. Before that, my activeness with social media was just, you know, jumping onto Facebook, loading a few pictures and jumping off. Like, I literally was not active on social media until up to about a few years ago. So
right.
I can't imagine if it's already just eating at me this much with just a few years, I can't imagine with people who have basically had their whole lives on it, what that's doing to you.
Yeah.
But, right.
Has somebody got a lighter there or something and keeps opening and closing it? I can hear it clicking, clicking, clicking.
Not me.
It's me. I'm sorry. I'll mute it when I edit. You won't hear it at all. But now that you've said it, if you have to keep it, because then other people are going to be crazy.
Nah, you got to keep it. But you got to keep it. That's fine.
Okay. But just real quick, before we move on to the next subject, I just wanted to go ahead and put this number out there. As Phil was saying, if you need any help, if you're having those kind of thoughts, if you know, if you're wondering what the warning signs are, go to suicidepreventionlifeline.org, or you can call the number 1-800-273-8255. Everything's free. It doesn't cost anything. Life is precious, so just remember that.
1000%. Life is so precious, and you only get one of them. All right, so to pull us up again, I'm going to talk about farts.
Yeah. I was waiting for this one.
This is happening.
I am not above bathroom humor, sir.
We're going to talk about farts, everybody. Okay. I know this is a podcast, or this is a video game podcast, but we're going to talk about farts. Look, you guys know me. I like to do a little something funny sometimes. You know, I've been doing the personal hygiene questions. And this week I thought, man, I'm going to talk about farts. So, Mike, I'm going to start with you. Have you ever in public tried to squeeze one off? You think it's going to be a little quiet one. You're like, I'll just get this little bitty out. It's going to be fine. I'll feel a little bit better. And you try to squeeze that out, and all of a sudden you just rip a loud one that everyone can hear.
Oh yeah, that's for sure. I was in middle school or high school. It was probably middle school. You know, the peak awkwardness of your life. And in school, we had those like hard plastic chairs, you know? So my game plan was like, I'm going to just kind of sit up a little bit and let it go. And then I'll sit back down. Well, I sat back down too early. So it was going good. And then I bailed a little bit early, sat down, and just a trombone of an echo just right from my ass. And it like, everybody's like looking at me. They're like, oh man. That's awesome.
That happened.
It was just like, oh my gosh. The echo is what is hilarious. Because it's like one of those big like lab classroom things, you know, with the tall table chairs and all that. Yeah. Yeah, it was.
There's no escaping it.
No. Like, you could echolocate my ass with that sound I put out.
Yeah, I've totally done this in a corporate meeting at work before. So
oh my god,
close quarters.
Yeah, it's happened, man. You know, you think you're gonna get away with it, and then all of a sudden it's not what you thought it would be. What about you, Adam?
Yeah, some of them I've done on purpose, though. I have to admit, I'm gonna be 100% honest. Lately, especially at the store, there's been those people that just don't do the social distancing thing when you're waiting in line at the store, which, I mean, sometimes I don't care. I mean, sometimes I'm just like, ah, screw it. But whenever you're within breathing distance of my neck and I can feel it, you're too damn close. And there's so
just like, but that's not even social distance. That's like just personal space in general.
Yeah, it's like that one kid on Hey Arnold, like with Helga. You remember that dude?
the dude always breathing.
Yes, that guy. Yeah. Okay, well, Shelly's not with me when I do this, but whenever I'm by myself and that happens, I will let one go. Normally, it's silent. The last time it happened, it wasn't. It was like, and that lady was like, oh my God. And I'm like, well, get back if you don't want to hear it or smell it.
A little machine gun. A little machine gun fart.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it.
That's brilliant.
That is your line of defense if somebody doesn't want to get away from you.
Yeah. Also, that's the sound effect that I do all the time for farts. And Shelly's like, that's not what a fart sounds like. Well, obviously, but I can't do the same thing with my mouth.
Brilliant. All right. Well, Mike, back to you here now. Mm-hmm. Has your spouse ever blamed you for one of their own farts in public?
No, that actually has never happened.
That's never happened to you? What about you,
no.
Adam? Not necessarily. There was an accident, though.
Your wife had an accident?
No.
I don't know if we should share the story.
Here's the story. I'm going to share it anyways. Here's the story. We were in Kansas. We were visiting her grandparents, and then we ate at some restaurant. I had a steak, and we went to some Walmart-like store. I don't remember what it was called. People in Kansas, I don't know what that is. Anyways, at this point, my knee was messed up, so I was in one of those electronic carts.
Okay.
Right.
And we were going through. Shelly was ahead of me because the cart was really slow. And I was like, I got to let this go. So I let it go and it was silent. And I was like, okay, cool. That worked. And then at that point, right when I finished, Shelly's like, oh, wait, let's go back this way. And I'm like, oh, no. And
so oh, no.
Walked straight into it. And yeah, it was bad.
Was her mouth open?
No, it wasn't open. But that was the only time she's ever had that happen, and she was just like, oh, and I was like, I'm so sorry.
Well, see, this maybe this is unique to my household, but this has definitely happened to me. We were in a GameStop and my wife let off one that was silent, but it was powerful, and I was like, man, who the fuck did that? And I looked at her like with a little smirk on my face, like, somebody just, did you smell that? Somebody just farted. And I turned back to the whatever I was looking at, the display, and apparently she looked at the person that was also over there that I assumed had done it. And like pointed at me and was like shook her head. Oh, and we leave the store later, and she's like, "Yeah, I totally blamed you. They all thought you did it." I was like, "Wait, that was you?"
Oh, so you didn't know initially? It was
I her. Had no idea. I thought it was the other person that was in the store. Like, I had no that idea that it was her. Yeah,
that's hilarious.
So this has definitely happened to me in public. All right, well, my final question here. We've given off some pretty embarrassing ones, but have you got an even more embarrassing fart story to share?
Yep.
All right, yeah. Adam, go for it.
One morning, I woke up. This is my routine sometimes. I wake up, go to the bathroom, right? In my old apartments, we lived in a two-story apartment that was ghetto as hell. They had a fentanyl raid. They had multiple drug raids. All these shady people lived there. But ironically, my windows didn't get broken out until I moved out of that place. Anyways. This lady that used to live behind us was like real dramatic. Like she'd always be arguing with somebody, probably on the phone. And this one morning I went to the bathroom and all of a sudden I hear, "You're killing me. Why are you doing this?" And like all these things. And I'm like, I have to go to the bathroom. And so I was like, okay, I'm just going to let this one go. And kind of like what Mike said, the sound that came out of me was like a symphony orchestra with only trombones.
And oh my gosh, dude.
It echoed to the point to where I didn't hear anything next door. Like, she obviously heard what I said and was like, ugh, and left the room so she can go yell at that person elsewhere.
Wow. That is
my gosh, dude.
When your fart is so big that the person in the apartment next to you is grossed out. That's something. That's real impressive.
Wow.
All right, Mike. What about you?
Okay. Have y'all had any physicals? Have y'all had physicals before, like where they check your junk and all that to check for hernias? Yeah.
Dude, I was ROTC, man. You got to get.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
You got to bend over and cough for that one.
Yeah. Well, I'd have to bend over, and it happened to be a female nurse that was doing this.
Uh-oh.
And I got my, you know, I'm standing there as you do, and I let I tried so hard to hold it, but like there's sometimes you just can't, like you can't. And so as she was going down,
you didn't stop her.
No, I didn't know what to do. So like she like just okay, cough, and I coughed and it just like came out. she was very professional. Very professional.
I bet this is not the first time this has ever happened to her.
What did she say?
She just kind of smirked. I'm like, I didn't say anything. I was like, this cannot be the first time this has happened to her. Cannot be.
You're like, I'm just not gonna acknowledge it. I'm just gonna pretend like this did not happen.
No, it didn't happen. It did not happen.
Oh,
and
man.
It happened again whenever she did the other one.
Oh my god.
But not as loud. luckily it didn't stink. It was one of those that were just like a puff of air.
Man, that's awesome. I don't know if I can beat that, but my most embarrassing one, this was like early on, Sarah and I were just dating. We hadn't even gotten engaged or anything yet. And I went to visit her at her parents' house, and her youngest sister was doing this JCPenney's fashion show, and so we went to go to it, and me and Sarah and her middle sister are standing there talking on this row of seats, and we're kind of chatting, and I don't really notice that her mom has walked up behind me. Okay, we've been dating maybe a couple months. Okay, like I'm not good enough with them yet to be farting in front of them, but I had to kind of let one go. I let it go, and it had some sound to it, and I was already like a little bit like sheepish, like, oops, I didn't mean to. And then Sarah just starts laughing hysterically, and I turn around and her mom is standing there. So I mean not even 2 feet.
You farted on
me.
Your girlfriend's mom.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Wow.
So that was that still stands as my most embarrassing fart moment.
In some countries, that's how they say hello.
If you were dogs, you know, that's how you get to know each other.
That's hilarious.
All right, well, guys, we're 30 minutes into this podcast, and I swear, everybody, this is a video game podcast where each and every week we get together to channel our virtues through the Triforce to provide you all the latest news and general thoughts from the mythical world of video games. We are new and largely doing this of our own entertainment simply because we love video games and telling you fart stories, apparently. If you like what you hear, please consider leaving us a like and review on your podcasting app of choice. And if you really enjoy it, please consider sharing on social media and the likes to your friends. You can find us on Twitter at TriCast Gaming P1 and on Facebook at TriCast Gaming Podcast, or finally on our website, TriCastGamingPodcast.com. DM us on Twitter or Facebook with your questions or your comments or your concerns, whatever you have, your corrections. We would be happy to hear from you and read them out on this show. All right, everybody, I'm going to jump into corrections. I'm going to try to move us a little bit because we did have a wonderful opening 30 minutes for you. I've got several corrections from last week. So number one, Avengers Endgame's release date was April 26, 2019. During last week's show, I said it was 2 years ago, and Adam said it was 3 years ago.
That was just last year, you dudes.
Listen, 2020 has been a long year, okay?
It's been several years.
Ace has not been the same since the ending happened. I can't say the
Oh my god!
I don't know the statute of limitations. I can't say anything.
So, yes, April 26, 2019 was when Avengers Endgame released. All right, number two.
Is that on DVD or is that in film?
That was in theater.
Wow, never mind. Yeah. I was going to say, at least we had the DVD at that point. Never mind.
All right, so number two. PS4 released in North America on November 15, 2013, and Xbox released in North America on November 22nd, 2013. So this is not really a correction, just a confirmation that your host, Philip Keeney, does know his stuff, as I did in fact say PS4 released by 1 week early or than the Xbox One. So confirmation of that one. Number three, flops. Apparently Mike informed me that flops is not the number of floppy disks you need to shove into your computer to actually make your video game work. Apparently, this stands for floating point operations per second, and a tera is just an indication of a factor, a multiplication factor of 10 to the power of 12. So this is essentially representing the number of floating point calculations per second a GPU is capable of performing, which roughly corresponds to the expected graphical output. In other words, the number of pixels and movements and all that kind of stuff that the graphics processor is calculating for and displaying out on your screen. So flops is meant to be some kind of representation as to how powerful or how much your graphics card can do in 1 second. So the more it can do, the more output you can have. So that's how you can get up to 4K resolution still at 60 frames per second, because it can actually calculate that number of pixels on the screen that many times, that many frames per second. So that's what a flop is. Apparently, it's not what I thought it was. So, oops, my bad, guys. All right, number four. Again, this is not really a correction, but last week I mentioned Skull and Bones from Ubisoft and how I thought that this game was just gone, that it was not going to happen. Well, apparently, me saying that brought it back out into the ether. And yesterday,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yesterday Ubisoft released a statement reassuring fans that it is still in development and to expect a presentation on the changes to the game sometime in the future. The game was originally scheduled to be released in 2018, so expect some significant changes to what was announced at E3 2017. So yeah, guys, it was totally me. I apparently brought this game back out. So if there's anything that y'all want to come back to life, just let me know. Like Beyond Good and Evil 2, where are you at? Where you at, son? Beyond Good and Evil 2. Next week, I'll have some news for you guys. Apparently, that's how this works.
If you could bring back Steam, that one that they've always said like they're
Half-Life
never going to make again. Half-Life 3, yes.
Okay, Half-Life 3.
All right, 3. He said it.
Half-Life 3.
He
said it.
News happening next week. You should talk about Titanfall 3. I want another Titanfall.
No, that's
you can play Apex. Happening. Play Apex. That's what they're doing.
I got one kill on that, and I'm good to go. That's it. I'm done. I'm retired.
100%. Yeah. 100%.
I think, unfortunately, they really are moving on from Titanfall, at least for now. All right. So those are our corrections from last week. Let's move into what we're playing. Mike, I will start with you. Tell me what you've been up to. I know it's not much, but...
No, it's Rocket League as usual. I played Spellbreak, which is the new... BR game from Epic or on the Epic launcher. It's like a BR game, but instead of guns, you use spell casting abilities, which is a pretty cool take. You get like these gauntlets that allow you to change the elemental type of damage you're doing. I'm pretty sure people are right now are finding the meta to like get the top tier build. And then I started doing Satisfactory Hard Mode. It's just satisfactory, but it's extremely hard. No resources, really, and hard to power your machines.
Is I like to make things difficult more on myself. Satisfactory or less satisfactory?
Oh, I see what you did there. Touche. whenever I... It'll be more once I've reached a certain point. Right now, it's way less. Way less. It's more frustrating right now than satisfactory.
Well, let me know how that carries on. By the way, by BR, a BR game, you mean it's a battle rifle game where battle you like you battle shoot Royale. You shoot your spells out at you know, 3-round burst or fully auto?
Nope, it's a battle royale where you actually cast the spells. Actually, there's not really from what I've used, there really wasn't a cast spell. It's all pretty. You're just throwing fireballs and poison clouds and ice arrows at people.
I see. See, I knew it was Battle Royale. Guys, I'm in the mood tonight. I told you, it's not been such a bad week. I'm a little more up for the show, okay? That's why you get fart That's jokes awesome. And why you get my lame dad jokes, okay?
I love it. He's sassy, Adam. He's got a lot of sass tonight.
He's got a lot of sass.
All right, Adam, what have you been up to?
I have been getting back into the Digimon World Dawn now that I found more time to play it. I'm playing it. Mm-hmm. You'll have to excuse me. I'm wheezing over here for some reason. And then I've also been playing Fall Guys. I started playing Fall Guys.
It's kind of lame by yourself. It's better with other people.
Yeah, because by myself, I'm just like, oh my gosh, get out of the way. Dude, get out of the way! And then it's over because I didn't make it.
Yeah. Well, see, if we were on a team, I would still be getting in your way because I still want to win.
But at least it would be fun at that point.
I'm a notorious grabber. A notorious grabber.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Digimon World Dawn, we've talked about on the show before. You're still enjoying it?
Yes, I am. Golly, I'm wheezing like crazy right now for some reason. Can y'all hear that?
Yeah, we're worried about you here.
Yeah, sorry, guys. That's the problem with asthmatics.
Well, I'll talk for you here for a second just so you can help catch your breath. But I'm glad that Digimon World Dawn is still doing good for you and that you've checked out Fall Guys. Fall Guys, again, another show or another game we've talked about here on the show. I haven't really tried it or played it much more since that first time I played it. It just didn't grab me. I guess I need to download it on PC as well, and maybe us three.
You need to play it, and I will grab you.
Yes, you need to play it on PC.
You know what?
Yep.
Any game
I will grab you.
Where I get grabbed by Mike is a good game.
Yeah, it is.
It's my favorite game.
Did I hear somebody else say yes on that?
All right. Well, I went and bought Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 plus 2 Remake, and I got Marvel's Avengers last Friday when they both released. I've dabbled in both, probably maybe 3 to 4 hours in each of them. I haven't been able to do a whole lot of gaming this past week because this past weekend was a bit of a nightmare in terms of all the stuff that I needed to do, and then we went and visited Sarah's parents for the Labor Day weekend. But I did get in, like I said, 3 to 4 hours on each game. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 plus 2 is excellent. If you are a big fan of those games, you need to get it. Check it out. It's $40. It's not even a full price release. It is somehow exactly how I remembered that game, and yet it looks so much better. It looks like a modern game. It plays like a modern game, even though I think it still pretty much plays exactly the same. I was having so much fun with it. Everything's still in the same place, like the skate letters, the secret tapes. Like, I jumped into the level, I knew exactly where to go and what to do, and I was right back on my bullshit of grinding into manuals, into the next grind, into manuals, into the next grind, into the next manual. I was killing it. This game is super fun, and they've added a bunch of customizability to your create a character. So that's really cool too. Different challenges and things you can work towards in the game. You can apply, you can earn points and apply them to different skills on your skater. That may be something that was in the original game, and I just don't freaking remember it. But if it wasn't, you know, that's the thing. Now you can create your own skater. You can find skill points in the world. You can apply them into your skater, and it actually lets you sort of tweak it on the fly. So at first I thought, yeah, I want to be up on the ramps. I want to be doing spins and tricks on the ramps. And I was like, nah, that ain't my bullshit. I need to be grinding into manuals, into grinds. And so I dumped all those points back out of the ramps, dumped them into the grinds and the balance and the manuals. So you can kind of play with your character on the fly as you're running the game. So that's really cool. So definitely go check out Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 plus 2. It runs great. Looks great. I have no complaints about that game. Super fun. I will be on my bullshit with that game quite a bit over the coming weeks. Marvel's Avengers, on the other hand, boy, have I not played a game as buggy as this one in a long
time. That's what I heard.
This game is super buggy. I mean, I've only been playing for a few hours. I've seen 3 different cutscenes where something has disappeared. So, like, there was one scene where she was holding something. Like, I don't remember if it was, like, she was eating and had a fork or whatever she was holding was in one scene. And then when it came back, gone. But she's still, like, interacting, like she's holding this thing, but it's gone. Not there anymore. There was another time she was sitting on a bed. And then when it cuts back to her, the bed's gone. So she's just sitting like she's doing a squat, man. She's like wicked squatting on this non-existent bed now. There was another where the guy was like sitting on a chair or something and the chair disappeared. Like multiple cutscenes where objects just disappeared out of the cutscene and never came back. I've had audio dropped.
It's like with cutscenes, like you would think those are like pre-done, like just like videos essentially, right? Like how, like why, think? like how's that? How do you screw that up?
Yeah,
like it's like you make it, you render it, you like, okay, let's look at it. No bugs. All right, put it in the game.
And
I
mean,
I don't get that.
I've been the first probably few from hours a deadline.
No, probably.
Yeah, and I'm from the first few hours of the game, so we're talking about like the cutscenes that most people are most likely to see because they're at the start of the game.
Right.
It's ridiculous. Like I said, I've had audio drops. The worst one was I went into a fight with the Hulk and just suddenly triggered slow-mo mode. So everything went into, there's no reason, there's no ability or anything that should have turned everything slow motion, but everything for the whole rest of this fight went slow motion.
Oh,
and then finally when I killed annoying. The last enemy and it triggered like the next thing, it all went back to normal pace. So I don't know. That's just
weird.
Some really awkward, weird bugs about this game.
That kind of, honestly, it does sound like WWE 2K20. Like, that's how buggy that game is.
Yeah, it's really disappointing. For a big Marvel game from Crystal Dynamics, very disappointing. And, you know, because honestly, like, I was having fun with the game. I mean, like, playing as Hulk is exactly as much fun as you'd expect it to be. Like, you can pick up people and throw them around, and you can pick up rocks and throw them at people, and you can jump in the air and do Hulk smash, and it's every bit as fun as you'd expect it to be. You play a lot as the Kamala Khan character early in the game, and she's got the, like, Stretch Armstrong arms, and that's really fun. You know, I was doing some sick moves, like grabbing rails and flinging myself halfway across the map and turning around and doing a move on a guy. Like, the combat's pretty fun, but all the bugs, man, it's really disappointing how many bugs are in this game.
All right.
So
that's what I heard.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'll keep playing it, guys. I'll let y'all know what else I've seen, but you know, might want to wait on this until they've patched it a few times. Maybe the experience will be a little bit better. All right, well, that's what we've been playing this week. We're going to jump into the newsreel. Thankfully, considering we talked about farts for 30 minutes, the newsreel is not too bad today. So let's get going. All right, here we go. So number one, Ubisoft Forward. Today was the second Ubisoft Forward of this summer month period. They announced a few new stuff, so let's go through it. Immortals Fenyx Rising has been given a launch date. We talked about this game last week, how they changed the name from Gods and Monsters to Immortals Fenyx Rising. So they gave us a launch date. It will be December 3rd, 2020, and they showed us some gameplay today. This game straight up looks like Zelda Breath of the Wild, just set in Greek mythology. So be interesting to see how they do. I mean, if they do Breath of the Wild, but better, and before anybody tries to talk shit, you can definitely do better than Breath of the Wild. Breath of the Wild was not some perfect game like everyone tries to make it out to be. So you could definitely do a little bit better than Breath of the Wild. So it'd be interesting to see what the puzzle rooms and the number of bosses and the areas and how they all play out that and how that works. So Immortals Fenyx Rising, December 3rd, 2020 on all consoles. Current gen and next gen, and even the Switch. So it'll be everywhere. PC, Stadia, get it everywhere. Be wherever you want to play it, you can play this game. All right, the second thing they announced was this Prince of Persia Sands of Time remake. This game will launch on January 21st, 2021. It is a remake of the 2003 Prince of Persia game. I thought that it looked okay, but I've seen a bunch of people trashing it for it, how it looks like the original game. And I'm like, man, I think people just forget how shitty some of those PS2 games look, because I looked at some screenshots from the original PS2 game, and this thing looks a lot better. I mean, it doesn't look like some fantastic next-gen title, but it definitely looks a whole ton better than the original PS2. So if you were really into that game, Ubisoft are entering the remake market. This is their first game that they're doing this. Prince of Persia, Sands of Time, January 21st, 2021. Next, they announced a new IP called Riders Republic, launching February 25th, 2021. This is a new action sports title and looks like they mashed the colorful world of that new Far Cry expansion with the Trials and Steep franchises. It's got mountain biking, going down these trails. Looks just like a Trials Rising. Trials Rising is the newest one, but a Trials series game. They also got the snowboarding and the hang gliding and stuff from Steep all mashed into one game here. So if you're into extreme sports, if you like those games, Riders Republic, it looks super colorful and interesting from an art style perspective in terms of the gear and stuff that they put on their riders, but probably not my game. Next, they announced a free 4K 120 frames per second update coming to Rainbow Six Siege for the next gen consoles. So that's pretty neat. If that's your game, 4K 120 frames per second. That's pretty wild. That should be good for a first person shooter like that. And then finally, they also announced Scott Pilgrim versus the World Complete Edition, including all original DLC. So this is a re-release of a game that was delisted about 6 years ago. I don't remember when it came out first, but it was delisted from the store about 6 years ago. They're going to re-release that game as a complete edition later this year, sometime for holiday. They didn't give an exact date in the show. Anything else you guys want to add from Ubisoft Forward?
No, you added the Prince of Persia, which I was pretty excited about.
Yeah, I think I'm good.
Yeah, I have nothing.
Okay, yeah, excellent. Well, hopefully Prince of Persia is good for you, Mike. I thought it looked fine. I was actually kind of intrigued by it.
I remember what it looked like back in the day. Oh, this looks okay. I mean, it's not bad. Yeah, it looks enjoyable.
I think some people just need to get off their graphics horse sometimes, you know? Yeah. All right, moving on, another piece of Ubisoft news. They announced that Assassin's Creed Valhalla's release date has been brought forward 1 week. Because you know what? We've gotten 50 minutes into the show and not mentioned the big stinger that we're going to talk about at the end of the show. That's right, folks. The Xbox Series X has a launch date. It is November 10th. We are going to talk about that in detail at the end of the show. Instead of doing three different topics, we're just going to do an Xbox blowout. So November 10th, and Valhalla's release date has been brought up forward 1 week. It was supposed to launch on November 17th. It's been brought forward 1 week to November 10th to launch alongside the Series X. So PS4, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, and S. We'll see that game on November 10th. I guess we'll find out PS5's release date sometime, and we'll know when Valhalla will be playable on the PS5. So next, Sega has done the same thing with Yakuza Like a Dragon. Its release date has also been shifted forward to November 10th. It was originally November 13th, but they've shifted their release date forward to November 10th for the Xbox Series S and X versions. They were not specific on the Xbox One, PS4, or PC versions, so we'll see what is to come there. But the next-gen version is definitely going to launch on November 10th alongside the Xbox Series X and S. All right, next, the Coalition has announced also that Gears Tactics will launch on November 10th on the next-gen console. So Gears Tactics has already been available since April 28th. On PC, its console version will launch on November 10th alongside the Series X and S. You can find that game on Game Pass when you get your brand new shiny console. They will also put Gears Tactics on the Xbox One as well, so if you don't want to upgrade right away, you'll still be able to play Gears Tactics on your current Xbox console November 10th. Anything you guys want to say on those three announcements?
Do you think that the release date they announced the 13th was just a placeholder until like they got the
yeah, absolutely. They were so quick, both Ubisoft and Sega, to come out and say that their games were shifting forward these number of days, that absolutely. I think they gave out a date that they knew was beyond the release of the console, and they were ready to come back and say, yep, we're going to go November 10th alongside the Xbox console.
Right. Because like the 13th is a Friday, and not a lot of games release on Friday because they want at least the day to patch, like a weekday to like go and like hot fix anything they need to. I just thought 13th was like a, and it's also Friday the 13th. It's bad luck.
Yeah, bad luck. Don't do that. All right. Adam, anything to add there?
No, I'm good. I'm over here taking a breathing treatment. That's why I've been so silent.
Yeah, catch your breath, man. All right, so number five, Nintendo did another shadow drop of one of their directs. This one was entirely focused on a new game that I had not heard of in any rumors, Hyrule Warrior. Let me try this again. Hyrule Warriors, Age of Calamity. This new Zelda Warriors game is set 100 years before the events of Breath of the Wild and is focusing on the Calamity War that is mentioned in said Breath of the Wild game. So if you've seen Hyrule Warriors on the Wii U or its definitive edition that was released earlier this generation on the Switch, you know exactly what this game will entail. Or if you've played any Dynasty Warriors game, you'll know exactly what this game will entail. You'll play as Link or Zelda or one of the four champions and fight off against up to, I think they said something like 1,000 enemies on screen at any time. Like I said, it'll be all in the art style of the Breath of the Wild game, with focusing on that Calamity War and Calamity Ganon, who you fight at the end of Breath of the Wild. That's, I guess, a spoiler, but okay, guys, come on. Now we are past the Statue of Limitations on that one. So sorry if I spoiled that for you. Although I think you fight Ganon at the end of every Zelda game, so if you didn't guess that Ganon was coming at the end of Breath of the Wild, I don't know what to tell you. This game will launch on November 20th and is being developed by Koei Tecmo, as always with these Warriors games. The game will also feature local co-op multiplayer. Additionally, Nintendo revealed that the four champion amiibo from Breath of the Wild will be reprinted and re-released alongside this game on November 10th. So if you didn't get one of those amiibo and you really wanted one back when Breath of the Wild was out, you'll have another chance to get one of or all of the four champions from Breath of the Wild.
So when you say reprinted, did they stop making them?
Yeah, they stopped making those particular amiibo. So, yeah. So I guess, you know, reprinted is kind of a weird term to use. That's what they used in their press release. But since these are, you know, plastic models, but I guess maybe it is. I molded might have been a better term for it. But yeah, they stopped making these particular amiibo, and they were not available as new buys. So,
yep. That's interesting.
If you hadn't gotten one, you would have had to go on an eBay market and probably got scalped, because everything that Nintendo sells that people buy later gets scalped for some reason. All right. Moving on to number six. Speaking of Nintendo again, Super Mario 3D All-Stars is already the second best-selling game on Amazon this year. And it isn't even out yet. Behind only Animal Crossing, New Horizons, pre-orders for the 3D Mario collection, which includes Mario 64, Mario Sunshine, and Mario Galaxy, is already outselling the likes of Doom Eternal, The Last of Us Part II, Final Fantasy VII Remake, and Ghost of Tsushima. It looks like that limited time availability is working just a charm for Nintendo, which, again, that I've started seeing some outlets mention this. This is a pretty nefarious tactic from Nintendo. They've said that digital and physical copies of this game will stop selling on March 31st, which, if you guys have been listening to the show so far, I've explained this before, but I'll explain it again. The way that these video game companies work is their fiscal year runs from April 1 until March 31st of the next year. So that means that they're saying, if you want this game, you got to buy it in fiscal year 2020 or you're not going to be able to get it. This seems like a very nefarious way for Nintendo to ensure that they get some more software sales before the end of this fiscal year. And let me tell you something. I would not be surprised if you don't find, come April 1, that Mario 64, Mario Sunshine, Mario Galaxy are available on the digital store still. So look out for that. People need to call Nintendo on their bullshit. They make some great games, but they have some very sketchy business decisions that they make, and people really need to call them on their bullshit. Now, listen, right. I'm not going to withhold my money where my mouth is at. I already pre-ordered this shit. Sorry, guys. But I'm still going to call them out.
I knew that was coming.
If anybody has better willpower than me, You should probably call them out on their bullshit. But you know what? I'm going to give them my money, and then I'm going to tell them that they suck.
Here, take my money, but shame on you. Shame on you.
All right. Moving on. Number 7, Psyonix has announced that PlayStation Plus on PS4 and Nintendo Switch Online on the Switch will no longer be required for online play on each of those platforms when Rocket League goes free to play later this month. In their press release, there is no mention of Xbox, though. So this post is suggesting that at least for the time being, Xbox Live Gold will still be required to play Rocket League on Xbox, which is a very strange decision for Xbox to force this, considering their whole games are for everyone talk. And we'll get into some of the great things that they're doing in terms of trying to get you onto Xbox at the end of the show. So it's a little bit strange, but insider Jeff Grubb of VentureBeat did post on Twitter that announcement being that Xbox Live Gold will become free, so multiplayer on Xbox consoles will become free for everybody, is still coming. So I don't know, maybe, you know, they didn't say anything about Xbox in the Psyonix press release, so they just didn't mention it. So maybe that's on purpose. Maybe Xbox have another little thing up their sleeve for later this month. I think that would be fantastic if they said, look, you know what? You want to play multiplayer games on Xbox? It's free. They can get rid of games with gold. You've already got Game Pass. If you want those free games every month, just go get Game Pass. So they could go and say, look, we'll give you access to multiplayer online for free and do away with games with gold completely. I would be totally in support of that. If you want a prediction from your host, Philip Keeney, TriCast Gaming Podcast, I think that when the new consoles launch on November 10th, that is when you will see the end of Games with Gold and the end of paying for multiplayer on Xbox. That's my prediction.
I can see that. I can see that happening for sure. The way it's just, that's the direction that Microsoft's going. I'd be surprised if it doesn't, to be honest.
Yep, absolutely. I'm in complete agreement. So we'll see what happens there. But anyway, moving on. Codemasters has announced a delay for Dirt 5. The PS4 and Xbox One versions were supposed to launch on October 16th. They will now come out on November 6th. There is no word on the PS5 version, but they did confirm once Xbox confirmed the release dates for the consoles. Codemasters did confirm that the Series S and X versions of that game will launch on November 10th alongside the console. So I expect that whenever the PS5 launch date is revealed, they'll confirm that next gen version will be available day and date of the PS5 launch. So November 6th now, just a couple week delay there for Dirt 5. Number 9, Mojang has announced that Minecraft will be getting PSVR support added later this month, making the full game playable in VR on PS4. There will be some added comfort settings, but otherwise it is 100% the game as it is, but playable in VR. Now, I put this in. I think this is great, but I also want to highlight what's happening here. PlayStation came out at the start of the week and said, we want to highlight VR this week. So just to set your expectations, we're talking only VR this week, and we're not going to give you any PS5 news. So at the same time that Xbox is announcing their price and date, PlayStation is talking about an Xbox first party studio game getting VR support on their console. Let me tell you something, folks. Go look at the Twitter and the blog post. People are not fucking happy about this. They want their PS5 news. I think it's pretty funny that this happened.
Yes.
All right. My final news story of the night, and then we could get to blowing Xbox. Number 10, Activision has revealed the Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War multiplayer beta dates. If you want to get in there and try this out, it's October 8th and 9th for the PS4 pre-order, October 10 and 12 for the PS4 open beta, October 15 and 16 for the Xbox and PC pre-orders, as well as open on PS4 consoles. And then October 17th through 19th, it will be open on all platforms. So plenty of times to get in there and try it out, no matter what your platform of choice is, if that is your thing. I don't think I'll be there, but if it's your thing, there's your dates. Go check it out. All right, guys, anything else on the news that y'all want to mention before we move on?
Nope, I think I'm getting
down to move on.
All right, let's get on to the topic of the show, Xbox. Xbox has gone first. They didn't intend to go first. They intended to go next week, and Phil Spencer has admitted this on Twitter. They were intending this announcement to come out next week, but overnight on, what was it? Was it Monday night or Tuesday night? Overnight, in the middle of the night, this thing leaked. Not only did the announcement leak, but they actually had some footage from the announcement video of the Xbox Series S that leaked out into the internet via... I'm trying to remember his name, Brad Sims. I don't know who he represents. I'd have to look that up. But this stuff leaked out here by one of these games journalists. And so pretty much overnight, Xbox media team, they jumped up and they dealt with this pretty mightily, really well. And they came out and they said, yep, the Xbox Series S is real. It will launch on November 10th and it will cost $299. And then the next day, they said, yep, and the Xbox Series X, that will launch November 10th as well, and it will be $499. Pre-orders for both consoles are opening on September 22nd. So yes, boom, like you say, Mike, Xbox Series S, Xbox Series X, November 10th, $299, $499 respectively. That is the launch date. That is the launch prices. And now the ball's in Sony's court.
Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of sad that a journalist is the one that broke this, and then Xbox is like, okay, fine, let's just put it out there.
God. I think the way it played out, it just worked perfectly.
Yeah, if you haven't gone on there, you know, I know we just talked about giving social media a break, but just jump in there, go through some of Xbox's tweets. They did some great stuff. They memed it off. They announced it. It was really good. Their social media team, their publicity team really did a great job, and they should be commended for how they pivoted, because even if we've been begging for this for a while, and they really should have announced this a long time ago, and maybe if they had, it wouldn't have leaked, but it still sucks because that's your big reveal and that got leaked. Before they could do what they wanted to do, but they got around it. They put the stuff out there. Let's talk about that price first. So $499, that is, I think, generally speaking, what everybody was kind of guessing. I can't remember exactly what people guessed. I think someone said $529. Maybe someone said $599. I know I said $499. And not to toot my own horn a little bit here, but I'm going to go ahead and toot it. I said that it would launch on November 17th alongside Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Release date is November 10th. Immediately, Ubisoft came out and said Valhalla's date was going to be November 10th so that it could launch alongside. So look, I know I didn't get the exact date, okay, but I knew what was happening here. I knew.
Your wording was like it was Valhalla was going to release with the Xbox, and you're correct there.
Yep. Absolutely.
Because they moved that date.
That day, like immediately, and $499 was the price I said. So there you go, there you have it.
That's because one of the executives for Valhalla was like listening to the podcast and was like, "Hey, let's just make this dude right.
We got to make this guy right."
You know, that would be pretty awesome. But I think what it is just I think I just had a good feel for it. You know, maybe every once in a while we get lucky.
Yeah.
But so let's start with Series X, $499. Mike, what do you think? Is that a good price?
They're losing money, but what they're doing with the Xbox Game Pass, it's perfect. Perfect price, I think.
So you think they're going to lose money on $499?
Yeah, I mean, like with the specs, they're not making a lot of money. If they're not going to lose any money, it's not going to be their cash cow.
Yeah, no, sure. I don't think they're taking a loss on the Series X. I think that, you know, it's not much, maybe $5 or $10 on each console that they're making on it, but they're not taking a loss on Series X. That's my thought. I don't really have anything firm to back that up. Just a little bit of what I've read about what some of the pieces inside it cost, equaling out to somewhere roughly around $460 or so. And then you got to factor in distribution costs and middleman costs and things like that to give you maybe $5 per console to Microsoft. But, you know, they're at least not taking a loss. Now, the Series S at $299, that is the whopper. That is the big one. They are definitely taking a loss on that thing. To look at the specs here, you can go out there and you can check this out for yourself. But the Series S has the same CPU in it as the Series X. So the exact same CPU, both it's it seems like it's throttled a little bit. Its max is 3.6 gigahertz on the Series S, whereas on the Series X, it can get up to 3.8 gigahertz. The hard drive that they're putting in it is the exact same type of hard drive, this PCIe Gen 4 NVMe solid state drive. Now, the Xbox Series S will get a 512 gigabyte hard drive, whereas the Series X is getting a terabyte, but it's the exact same speed, exact same style of hard drive in the console. The big difference is in the GPU. So there's a big gap between the GPU that is available in each console. But what that means is that from a speed perspective, from all the features like the quick resume and all that kind of stuff that they're going to put in the console, for how quickly your games will load, etc., all of that will be the same between a Series S and a Series X. Where you're going to see the difference is in graphical output. So the Series S is going to be limited to 1440p, whilst the Xbox Series X can get up to 4K. Both are going to be able to do 60 frames per second. Both are going to load your games fast, the same speed. It's just in that graphical output where you're going to see the difference. So the Xbox Series X, they're quoting 12.15 teraflops, whereas the Series S is 4 teraflops. So that puts it from a graphical perspective along the same lines as the current PS4 Pro, but with that souped up CPU and that souped up solid state drive inside of it. So this is really, I mean, they're definitely taking a loss, probably up to a $100 loss on this. I mean, probably a big loss on this thing. It doesn't have a disc drive either, so that helps. Mm-hmm. It's a digital only console, but I mean, it's a fantastic price. $299 is the same price as the Switch. You know,
right.
That's a great price to get a next gen console come November 10th. What do you guys think?
You can buy a next gen console for the same price as you can get a current console. That's insane to me. Like,
absolutely.
That's insane. Cause you can buy an Xbox One S right now for $299 at Target.
That's right.
It's wow. I probably won't be getting it because I mean, I have a PC that runs it, but if for some reason I spill water on this computer, I just need a system, I will definitely be getting the Xbox One S.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Same price as current gen.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. And it's like the power of it is insane compared to what we have at current gen right now. There's the teraflops alone and the solid state drive.
Yeah, I mean, I think shots fired. I really do. I know they keep saying that they're not about selling consoles, but fuck me. That's
we're not about selling consoles, but console.
Hey, you know, if you want to get in on next gen console, basically we'll give you one for free.
Pretty much.
Jeez. I mean, I tell you what, the size of the console too is fantastic. But go ahead, Mike. Sorry. What were you about to say?
No, I was just going to point out the Xbox Series S has 4 teraflops. It's compared to the Xbox One X, which has 6, and the Xbox One X is going to be around the same price as the next gen console, but the next gen console, the Series X, is already way overpowered compared to that. And I'm just comparing here.
Yeah. So I think the series, the confusing names here. I think the One X is around 6 teraflops. The PS4 Pro is around 4.5 teraflops, maybe. And the Series S is coming in at 4 teraflops. So from a graphical perspective, it's roughly on. I know it's less, but listen, it's roughly right on par with the PS4 Pro right now. So them saying that it's going to do 1440p and 60 frames per second is 100% accurate. That's what the PS4 Pro does right now. But the thing is that they're including the same CPU, the next gen CPU, and they're including that solid state drive. So this is going to be a definite next gen jump up from what you have right now with the PS4 Pro. So you're not going to get 4K visuals, but if really all you're doing is 1440p and looking for 60 frames per second and super fast load times and all that stuff, you're going to get it right here with this console.
And it can go up to 120 FPS. That's crazy for a console these days. That's amazing.
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 Adam, have you figured out how to catch your breath yet, or are you still dying over there?
Yeah, I'm looking over the specs over here, and I got to say, it kind of goes back into what I said last time when we were speculating when this was going to come out. Like, all this stuff, 60 frames a second, I mean, up to 120 frames a second, stuff like that, is all nice. But if you don't have the stuff to run it, you're not going to notice a difference.
So you're talking about like your software.
Monitor?
Yeah, like your monitor or your TV. I mean, you can plug it into the same stuff you right. got, but if it can't run it, you're not going to be able to tell a difference. I mean, like your mind's going to trick itself, and it's just going to be like, oh yeah, I can so totally see the difference, but you're really not.
So you will see it. I mean, if they suddenly get third person action adventure games, like if they can get Dark Souls running at 60 frames per second on a console, like it does on the PC, you're going to notice that your TVs are going to, I mean, let's go back to Wolfenstein 3D. We talked about it earlier in the show. When Wolfenstein 3D launched in 1991, it ran at 70 frames per second. You're going to see that on your TV. What you're not going to see, like you pointed out, Adam, if you only have a 1080p TV, you're not going to see 1440p visuals 50K. Or 4K exactly. visuals. Yeah. But you will see a jump in that smooth, buttery smooth gameplay. They were showing Gears 5 running at 120 frames per second on the Xbox Series X. That is wild. Third-person cover-based shooting multiplayer at 120 frames per second on a console.
What kind of TV were they running it on?
I'm telling you, you're really focusing. You got to separate the resolution from frames per second. You will see the frames per second. As long as you have a 120 hertz refresh rate on your TV, which most 1080p TVs will have that, you're going to notice that. You're going to notice that buttery smooth gameplay.
Yeah, the frame rates are going to be translatable easily. It's just the resolution's going to be, it probably won't be there if you don't have a good TV.
Yeah,
but you'll
the refresh rate. That's what I'm talking about. Like, if you have a 60 hertz,
rate, 60 hertz, yeah, the frame rate may take a bit of a dive, but it's still going to be better than 30 FPS.
Oh yeah, it will.
And you will notice it. I mean, there will be a notice. Like, because I recently upgraded my monitor, and I didn't think I'd notice the refresh rate, but oh my god, when I play Rocket League, it's so much different. Like, I can actually read the ball better. But with it going from 60 hertz to 120, but it should be the same going from like the frame rates. I mean, from 30 to 120.
Yeah, especially the frame rates can be easy. Yeah, but the hertz is what I'm talking about. Like, most people don't know to look for that. I mean, most gamers do. I acknowledge that. But people who are trying to get into this stuff, like, yeah, I want better gaming, I just don't know what I want, they're going to be the ones that are going to be disappointed. That's all I'm saying.
Right. No, I got you.
I mean, you're still going to see good differences in load times and things like that. And if we, you know, just another point I want to make on frames per second, if they can make it, even if it's capped at 60, but it is a consistent 60, you're going to notice that too, because here's the thing with a lot of these games, even on current gen consoles, they say they run at 30 frames per second, but if you actually look at it, they dip down into the low 20s quite often, especially with games like Dark Souls and such, especially if there's a lot of stuff happening on screen, like mages firing off magics and characters jumping and think, you know, they start dipping frame rates quick. So if these consoles can maintain like a consistent frame rate, even if it's just 60 frames per second, you're going to notice a massive difference.
I think it'll start at 120, and then I think what's saying it's 60 FPS up to 120 is like you'll peak at 120, but you can dip down to 60 FPS every once in a while, I guess, is what this is saying. They're just setting expectations.
That would be hilarious if they said if it's up to 120 frames a second, if it's like a black screen.
No. So I think what this is saying is that our standard, like the base that we want our games to hit, is 60 frames per second.
60 FPS. Yeah.
So not necessarily that your games are going to bounce between the two. I think they're you're probably going to see games locked at one or the other. But what it's saying is that some of these games, like, you know, Gears 5, which is a current gen title that they're bringing forward, they could get that to 120 and they can run at 120 for that. You know, Halo Infinite, you know, I think they actually already said Halo Infinite's multiplayer will run at 120, but the single player would be at like 60. It'd be limited to 60. you know.
That's crazy.
So
I wonder why.
I think probably because the open world environment and all the assets that also have to load with it probably makes it such that they kind of have to throttle something. But on their multiplayer maps, you know, you can kind of scale back some textures. You've got less area that's loading in and everything, and you can run because most that's people are focused on what is that other guy doing across the map, not you know, look at that pretty tree over there in the corner. You know?
Right.
So, you know, just I guess one more time, reiterate, it's coming out November 10th. Pre-orders start on September 22nd. $4.99 for the Series X, $2.99 for the Series S. So just put that out there again in your mind. So let's step into the next thing. They also announced that EA Play is coming to Xbox Game Pass. We have talked about Game Pass on this show repeatedly. This shit is getting better. EA Play, at no additional cost, is coming to Xbox Game Pass. And that's not just like the games in EA Play. It's a EA Play membership. So that means you'll get the games that come in that service. You'll get the free trials that come with that service. And you'll get the discount on EA games and DLC content that comes with that service. No additional cost if you're a Game Pass Ultimate member. So now you're talking you're talking about Game Pass, you're talking about multiplayer, you're talking about EA Play, you're talking about cloud gaming, you're talking about PC Game Pass, all in your $15 a month Ultimate membership. I mean, that's...
I think Microsoft should be giving us money for how much we're selling this.
Yeah, I agree. Well, y'all, I mean, not me.
Listen, though, if you're not paying attention to Game Pass now, at least saying, I mean, you can, like I've said on the show before, you can say at the end of the day that Xbox is really not your console for X or Y reason. But if you can't look at this and go, holy fuck, that's some serious value, you've got to be completely blind or willfully trying to feign ignorance, because that is some excessive value in what Microsoft is offering. To get EA on board, you know, to this service. I mean, granted, EA does not launch their new games in Play, but they typically come out roughly 6 to 8 months after the game launches. So as long as you can be patient, you can pay $15 a month, and you can know that you're going to get every game from EA within 12 months of launch.
So, like, I'll be able to play the Squadron game. Like, after release, I don't have to buy it.
Absolutely.
On release date, right?
Now, I'll say that they're saying this is coming at launch. So EA Play is coming to Game Pass on November 10th, launching with the console. Squadrons obviously launches October 2nd, but as long as you can wait, you can come and check out Squadrons whenever that comes to EA Play, and it will come eventually.
Yeah.
Now, what you can also probably do is they'll probably still have the 10-hour trial demo in EA Play. So when that service comes to Game Pass, you can check out that 10 hour demo of Squadrons. You just will have to wait a little bit longer to get the full access to the full
game. Right. And if I don't like it, I don't have to even worry about it. So
exactly. There Perfect. You go. So excellent additional value, a great little announcement. So with that, let's highlight the other thing that they said. Xbox All Access, which is their service to get you to finance a console through them, is being expanded to up to 12 different countries, including several stores here in the United States, Walmart, Target, Amazon. And what this is as long as you commit to a 2-year membership, essentially a 2-year contract to Game Pass Ultimate, then they will let you take home a console for a monthly fee. That monthly fee for the Xbox Series X is $34.99. You make 24 payments of $34.99. At the end of that 2 years, you will own an Xbox Series X. For the Series S, it's $24.99. So you make 24 payments of $24.99. At the end of that 2-year period, you will own a Series S. During that 2 years, you will get Game Pass Ultimate all through that 2 years. After that point, you'll have to start buying it per month again. Now, to kind of get you into perspective, $35 times 24 is
$840.
Thank you. Xbox Game Pass Ultimate right now is $15 a month. So 15 times 12 is 180. 180 times 2 is 360. 360 plus 500 for the console is 860. So you get $20 off. You basically get 1 month free of Game Pass Ultimate, or if you want to look at it, you get an Xbox console for 480. So not only are they basically loaning you money for no interest, which doesn't fucking happen in this world anymore.
No.
But you're actually getting a discount if you go through All Access. So you can go and get into Next Gen Gaming on November 10th for as little as $24.99. You'll bring home this little Series S console. You'll have Game Pass Ultimate right away. You'll have access to their 100 plus. It's actually like they always say 100 plus, but it's nearly 200 games in Game Pass.
Way more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As well and as 60
coupled
plus
with games. The EA Play.
Yeah. I mean, that's fantastic. I mean, and it gets even better with Series S because 25 times 24, go ahead, give me the math, 600, you know, so let's do the math on Game Pass Ultimate again. You know, 180 times 2 is 360, 360 plus 300 is 660. So you're saving $60. So you're basically getting a Series S for $240. They're losing even more money on the Series S to get you in on their service. It's incredible.
Can you imagine, like, if this were a thing back, like, in the 80s or, like, the 90s when you got your Nintendo, and you're like, all right, we're going to do monthly payments, and you get all these games. Back up the truck, Phil. They need all these games. Like, these cartridges. This would be my dream if I would have mowed lawns. Mowed one lawn or two lawns a month, and that would pay for my gaming habit.
It's amazing.
It's crazy.
And if you have an Android tablet, when you're on the go, you can play these games through the cloud as part of that service.
Oh, yeah.
Too. Yes. I mean,
like, this is the future.
Well, what more do you want from me, people? Go. How can you not see that this is really good from Xbox?
Right.
You know, which really, like I said, it calls into question why they're still forcing people to pay for multiplayer. That's why I think it's going away. I really do.
That's just the direction they're going. Like, I will not be surprised if Xbox Gold is gone. Xbox Live Gold is gone with the next gen.
100%. I'm with you. So, I mean, I think we've pretty much about covered everything that they announced. You know, if you're not familiar with EA Play, go check it out. You know, you can play any of the current FIFA, Madden, or FIFA or Madden, they're the main two sports franchises. You can play any of the current, so FIFA 20 and Madden 20 right now are in.
So they released those. They released the current sports games with EA Play.
Yeah. So now what they typically do is it's about 6 months after the release of the game. So right now, Madden 20 and FIFA 20 are out in EA Play. Madden 21 has actually released already, and FIFA 21 releases on October 9th, I think. But they, like I said, it's about 6 months. I used to be able to wait, but now I play so much Ultimate Team that I can't wait, because if you wait that long to get into it, there's really no point. I do buy my FIFAs on launch. But right now it has Need for Speed Heat. It's got Titanfall 2. It's got the Battlefield games. It's got the Mass Effect games. It's got The Sims. I mean, there's so much in there.
It's got Titanfall 2.
I can actually finish Need for Speed Most Wanted. I started that game back when I built my first computer, and my computer broke, and I never finished that game.
Now
I can actually go back and finish that game.
Now you can. I've been patiently waiting on Need for Speed Heat. I've been really interested in trying that one. It's the first one that's actually piqued my attention for a while. So I'm going to go in there and finally get to play Need for Speed Heat once EA Play comes to Game Pass Ultimate. So it's just brilliant. It really is. I mean, and at $300 for their second console, you know, you can really reasonably afford this as a second console. If you want to go and make PlayStation your main console, that's great. But now, like, the path into playing on Xbox is so affordable. It's amazing. Just come check out Xbox. You know, I don't think you'll be disappointed. I really don't. I mean, if you are, then I really question if you can't find some enjoyment out of what Xbox are doing and the number of games that they're putting out there. I really am. I'm concerned for you. I really am. and I say this as I think I've been pretty clear on the show, and I'll be clear again. I've pretty much switched to PlayStation as my number one console, and I get you guys, especially my brother, ridicule me for this, but that's where I'm at. That's my main console. But so seriously, guys, take
those exclusives, man.
Take this with, you know, understanding that I am pretty much full on a PlayStation mainliner. So everything I'm saying about Xbox doesn't come from me fanboying about Xbox and trying to sell you over PlayStation. It comes from a place of like, holy fuck, they're doing some cool shit and you should pay attention to it.
Yep. Yep, for sure.
So.
Yeah. So do you think this will affect, so this shouldn't affect Sony's prices at all, right? Because I think their price is going to probably be $499 as well for their PlayStation.
Yeah, the PS5 is going to be $499. You guys can pretty much take it to the bank. It won't be less than $499. I think they're in trouble though with their digital only console, because I really think that thing was going to be $449, and they might have to release that at $399. And even at that, they're going to take a loss. And people. Smart people are going to know this, but there are going to be people that don't realize this because they're going to see digital console and they're going to see Series S digital console. The PS5 digital only version is the exact same console as the main PS5 console. It just doesn't have a disk drive. Okay. Yeah. There is no downgrading it. So all the components in that, all the expensive components that are in that are the same. Disk drives these days, Blu-ray drives are a dime a dozen. So that's anybody thinking that the PS5 digital is going to somehow launch anywhere close to the Series S price are crazy. Yeah. That thing is probably going to launch at $449. So you're probably going to have two SKUs of PlayStation consoles, one at $449 and one at $499. And I think they're going to take a battering on that one because that's, you know, a pretty significant price jump between those two consoles, even if, in fairness, the Series S is not the same as a Series X, and it's not going to be the same as the digital-only PS5. It's just they're going to get compared inevitably, and so that's tough. And now, you know, Xbox have gone first, and PlayStation are probably like a little bit like, oh fuck,
probably on their back foot right now, covering their face. You know. I think the only reason to get a PlayStation, the only reason right now, is just for the exclusive alone, not because of the hardware. In my opinion, like. Not the hardware, it's just to play the exclusive games. That is the only reason to get a PlayStation. Microsoft has way too many services for PlayStation like to do anything about. Like all the reason you want to get a PlayStation is for the exclusives. That's the reason I'm probably going to get a PlayStation, is for the exclusives. Like I've missed out on all the other stuff this gen, and I don't want to do that again. I want to play the PlayStation games I've been enjoying watching streamers play, and that'd be the only reason I'm going to get it. If I was going for hardware alone, it'd be Xbox, and the services alone, straight to Xbox. Like, Xbox just checks. There are too many checks on that side. But since I have a PC, then I have Game Pass there. I can play those games. It's just, that's the only reason I'm getting a PlayStation, just for the exclusives.
The exclusives are amazing. I don't think that's the only reason to get a PlayStation. Like I said, that's more my main now. I think there are better, there are other good reasons, but we can get into that on another show. We've been going long here, and this is really about focusing on Xbox. But, you know, you do have a point on PlayStation's exclusives. And we've talked about that before, about how Xbox, you know, everything they've put in right here, everything that we're excited about right here is it is really worth being excited about. But if in 12 months' time, the exclusives are still falling flat, all of this excitement is going to ebb away pretty quickly. So they've got to bring it with the games. What you can play those games on is well in place. Now bring the games.
Yeah. Yep. 100% there.
All right, Adam, you got anything else to add? I mean, especially me, I've been ranting a lot in this section. So please, if you've got anything to add.
I want to get an Xbox S, a Series S. Like, I'm not too keen to, you know, $500. That's just, I see that price and I'm just like, dude, I got like a house payment. I got all these other things.
I got a baby.
I got a baby that requires the Nutramigen liquid formula because he can't take anything else apparently. So I'm having to spend $350 alone just on formula a month. And so I'm just like, that's going to have to wait. But, you know, seeing the price for the Series S, I'm like, I think I might be able to stomach that one. So,
yeah, that's like, that's the thing, though. Like, that's just, that price is just, it triggers an impulse buy. I'm like, it's only $299. I can get that.
Yeah, mine's a hesitant impulse buy. So I'm like, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
It's definitely an impulse buy territory for sure. 100%. Yeah. 100%. And hey, listen, that $24.99, like, it seems like there's a catch, but if you're already going to be paying for Game Pass Ultimate, that's only $10 more per month to get the console, and they're not charging interest on it. As long as you make your payment on time, 24 months straight, you're not going to have any trouble with that. So,
So I mean, that's just more appealing to me too.
Yeah,
very interesting. I tell you what, I will almost 100% guarantee you, unless for some hellish, godforsaken reason, COVID-19 doesn't go away and I never start traveling again for work, I'm going to end up buying a Series S as well, because that thing is so fucking small. I can put that in my backpack along with my work laptop, and I can travel with it, and I can get to my hotel room, I can hook it up, and I can get gaming again. I've been tempted to take my PS4 on trips before in the past, and I never did, just because I have a Pro and it's a little bit chunky. But that Series S is so small, I can almost 100, I would say 98% guarantee you guys that I will get an S as soon as things get lifted and I get back to traveling for work again. I will go and get an S pretty much day one so that I can travel with that thing.
Nice. It's about the size of a graphics card, apparently. So, yeah, it'll fit right in your bag. Yep. Carry on.
There you go. All right. Guys, are we ready to wrap up this show?
Let's do it.
I'm going to give you guys the upcoming games this week. As always, these are my highlights. There's always more games coming out. These are just the ones that I picked out. All right, so here we go. Number one, Necromunda Underhive Wars. This was talked about at the Gamescom show. This is a Warhammer 40K game. Looks really interesting, actually. This game is coming out, or it came out a couple days ago on September 8th, and is on PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Deep below the hive cities of Necromunda, lead, customize, and grow your gang in the twisted tunnels of the dystopian Underhive. Also out on September 8th, Star Renegades. This game is coming to Xbox Game Pass for PC. Star Renegades is a dimension-spanning roguelite strategy RPG. Outsmart uniquely generated adversaries, forge bonds between heroes, and end the cycle. I don't know what cycle you're ending, but you're going to end a cycle. I like to highlight all these ones again. Every single week on this show, there are indies coming to Game Pass at launch. Every single week, there are multiple ones. So it's not just the bigger games, but also smaller games for you guys to get in there and try. It's basically like having Humble Bundle inside your game, inside your Game Pass Ultimate subscription. So there you go. Look at it that way. Even more value to it. Also coming out, or came out on September 8th, Kingdoms of Amalur Re-Reckoning, PS4, Xbox One, PC. Remastered with stunning visuals and refined gameplay, Re-Reckoning delivers intense, customizable RPG combat inside a sprawling game world. This is the game that came from that Kurt Schilling founded studio in Connecticut that went bust after this game came out. This actually got great reviews originally. I've heard that this Re-Reckoning version is a little bit buggy, so you might want to wait for some patches on this one before you jump into it. Also, September 8th, The Sims 4 Star Wars Journey to Batuu. We talked about this the other day. This is the mode based on the Galaxy's Edge world at Disney World and Disneyland. So hone your lightsaber skills, befriend a droid, and get ready to unlock missions for the Resistance, First Order, and Scoundrels in The Sims 4. This is an expansion pack for that game. That's on PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Came out yesterday, September 9th, The Outer Worlds Peril on Gorgon. This is the expansion, the first expansion to The Outer Worlds, PS4, Xbox One, and PC. A severed arm and a mysterious message lead the crew of the Unreliable to the Gorgon asteroid, formerly the site of one of Halcyon's most ambitious and disastrous scientific undertakings, now a lawless den of monsters and marauders. Go check that one out. This one's out today, September 10th. We record on Thursday nights, as everyone knows. September 10th, Borderlands 3, Psycho Creek, and the Fantastic Fuster Cluck on PS4, Xbox One, PC. This is Borderlands 3's last DLC. Ready to say goodbye to Sanity Vault Hunter, Psycho Creek, and the fantastic Buster Cluck. The fourth campaign DLC for Borderlands 3 will send you on a savage and surreal journey into madness. Go check that out. I just like saying Buster Cluck.
That's a fun word to say.
It's such a clever title. I don't know if you guys have ever heard that term clusterfuck, but it's such a clever title. Love it. All right. Tell Me Why, Chapter 3, also out today, September 10th. This is the final chapter of that Tell Me Why. This is a Xbox One and Xbox Game Pass game. In this intimate mystery, reunited twins Tyler and Allison Ronan use their supernatural bond to unravel the mysteries of their loving but troubled childhood. Also out today, September 10th, Hot Shot Racing. Again, this is another Game Pass game. It is also on PS4, Switch, and PC, but if you have Game Pass, you can download this right now. As you're listening to this show, Hot Shot Racing is a blistering fast arcade-style racing game fusing drift handling, razor-sharp retro visuals, and an incredible sense of speed to create an exhilarating driving experience. Finally, also out today, September 10th, Disgaea 4 Complete Plus. This package has been out in other forms in other places before, but it is coming to PC, and it will be in Xbox Game Pass on PC as well. The Ultimate Disgaea has arrived. Hell-raising action and horde of special features await you in this tale of fiery revolution. So if you have Game Pass and you have PC and you have Xbox, you have four new games in Game Pass this week to check out with your service. So excellent stuff there. For this week, I don't think there's anything coming out this week that I'm really interested in checking out. Hotshot Racing looks kind of cool. It looks kind of like going back to the old arcade style racing, like Riding USA. Right. So I might check that one out. But otherwise,
oh, I forgot about Riding USA. I love that game.
Yeah. So other than that, I don't think there's really anything too exciting for me. But I'm still playing Tony Hawk and Marvel's Avengers anyway. So it is what it is. Anything there catching you guys' attention?
The Hotshot Racing is now, after you describe it as Red News. I'm looking at some videos of it now. This brings back the memories.
Yes, sir, it does. All right, what about you, Adam? Anything?
Sims 4 looks amazing with the Star Wars little thing to it.
Yeah, that's super cool. I don't know if you guys have been to the Galaxy's Edge yet. Mike, I know that your wife used to work at Disney World. I don't know if you've gotten back out there since Galaxy's Edge opened up, but it's super cool. Mm-mm. As a Star Wars nerd. Excellent stuff.
I need to check it out.
And actually, I will wrap up here with an announcement that I am going back to Disney World. So
I'm jealous.
In a few weeks, we're going to have to figure out a plan. I'm going to be flying out on Thursday, October 1. We typically record on Thursday, so maybe we can record on the Wednesday, or maybe you guys might have to do that week without me. But
we can just go with you.
You know what? I don't think so. Sorry.
Oh. Hey, yeah, we can fit in the luggage.
Do it early.
You
can. Maybe I cannot fit in luggage, sir. Dude, I went to every time I go to the restroom at work, we have those hands-free faucets now. It turns on before I even get my hands down there because my gut sticks out enough to activate the faucet.
That's so...
Do not put me in the luggage.
So wonderful. No, I'm going to go back for a few days. I have, I think, some unfinished business there. Really, this summer has dragged on far too long for me. All of this COVID stuff, all of this stupid fucking election year stuff. It's just gotten to me, guys. I need a bit of a break. I want to go have some fun with my family. We're going to go for a few days. Going
to
be
perfect place to do it, man.
We're going
to
be riding our masks all the whole time there. We're going to be super safe. And we're going to have some fun. I mean, they're limiting park capacity to 40% right now. I've read that, you know, even looking at the app, you can see that wait times are like 10 to 15 minutes for just about every ride. So we're going to go and have a blast. There may be no character meet and greets, but last time we were there back in March, my kids went and got every kind of signature you can think of. So I think they'll be okay. But listen, guys, let me tell you something. I went earlier this year, March 1st through the 6th. When we left, the world seemed like it was okay. Within a couple days of us getting back, the world decided it was ending and COVID-19 was the thing. I am now going back to Disney World October 1 through 6th. Okay? I'm telling you guys right now, when I get back, Just you wait. Everything's going to go back to normal. I will set the record straight. I will take this hit for you guys to set the world back on its right path.
Wait, wait. So you're saying COVID happened because you went to Disney World and didn't have a good time and left?
No, I had a fantastic time, but
okay.
You know, so I don't know why. You need to have a bad time then. No, fuck that, man. You know what? You guys can suffer with it. I'm going to have a great time. I can't set the world straight back if that's what, if I have to give up having a great time. But so just to let you guys know, going back to Disney World, going to have a great time. We'll figure that out in a few weeks. We'll have a plan. I think probably just record on Wednesday night and we'll get you guys a show as always. All right. We've been going for a while. We talked about farts a lot, all kinds of stuff. Guys, do you want to describe that game or do you want to wrap up the show for tonight?
Let's do that next week. We'll do that next week.
We'll bring describe that game back next week. As it turns out, that seems like something that we really enjoy doing. We'll bring that back next week. But for now, I think, guys, we're just going to head out. We gave you a great show today. So thank you, everyone, for listening to this here, the 8th episode of the TriCast Gaming Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Lots of fart jokes. Remember to like, subscribe, review on your podcasting app of choice. And if you have any questions for the show, DM us on Twitter or Facebook, or if you find anything out that we said wrong, please send us that correction. We would love to hear from you. We'd love to read out your stuff on the show, integrate it, and have a great time with you guys. We will be back again next Friday with episode number 9. Have a great weekend. Stay safe and game hard.